Bhagavatam Mahapuran Ki Jai. So we're continuing verse 28 in chapter 30, which is the most important verse for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 30, verse number 28. So why is this the most important verse for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Because in this verse, Radharani is revealed. Our acharyas say that this verse brings out the speciality of Radharani, unique position of Radharani, and there's 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but this is the one that glorifies Radharani. The whole idea of the Bhagavatam is to describe Srimad Bhagavatam. What is love? What is divine love? Prema, Krishna Prema. We use the term, but we want to see who is a lover of Krishna. We see around us many devotees like ourselves, and we're all saying that I'm a devotee, I'm a Krishna Bhakta. And we all share the same common goal, Krishna Prema. But how many of us are exhibiting the symptoms of Prema? Probably none of us. Because that's the indication of Siddhi or perfection. That's the param gati, that's the goal to attain prema. It takes many lifetimes. We endeavor in such a way, and we try to do our bhakti bhajan, so we attain prema in this life. We only think, do or die, I must attain prema in this life. Otherwise, there's no enthusiasm, there's no determination, and there's no encouragement or hope. All these qualities are necessary in the life of a devotee. Enthusiasm, encouragement, determination, and hope. Ashvanda, hope against hope, as Prabhupada said. So we hope for the best and expect Krishna's mercy. Because everything is tested, then we get so many amazing examples of those Kripa Patras, those personalities who don't even do any sadhana, but they attain perfection by the mercy of Krishna. Even witches like Putana. Baladeva Dibhushan explains in Govinda Vasyam, he's commenting on this particular Leela. He says that at the time of death, Krishna killed her. Baby Krishna Gopal, 6 days old, he killed her and simultaneously gave her prema. She got Krishna prema so much she got Vatsalya Bhav. Vatsalya Bhav is one notch below Madhurya. Madhurya, the amorous love of Krishna and the gopis, is the topmost love in existence. And here she's having a love not equal to some older gopi. There's so many elderly gopis in Braj Mandal. They all love Krishna like his mother and grandmother. In Vatsalya Ras. But Mother Yashoda, she is the exemplar. She is a perfect example, the topmost example of the intimacy, the sweetness, the dedication, and the ideal mother. There's no mother greater than Mother Yashoda. No mother loves her child more than Mother Yashoda. So here she is, on just next to Mother Yashoda is Putana. Krishna gave her the position of a Datri, to be a gopi sarup. She got Siddhadeya. Krishna gave her directly. She got Siddhadeya as a gopi, as a mother in Vatsalya Bhav, the type of Bhav and type of Vatsalya of the like Yashodas. She became an assistant. She's an assistant of Yashoda, Datri. That's pretty high up there. Nowhere near or equal to Yashoda by far. But she was given that position, not some position as a mother. And Braj Mandal is a big place because she came and she tried to kill Krishna and Gokul. So Krishna will say, listen, I'm killing you in Gokul. I'm going to make you a gopi, a Gokul gopi, and you'll live in Gokul and you'll be in a Siddhadeya and you'll have love for me like a mother. But I'll keep you far away from me. You won't get too near me. It's 50 kilometers from Gokul to Nandagram. But did Krishna do that? He didn't do that. Because, as you know, Braj Mandal is a big place, Chaurasi Kosh. 168 square miles. I mean, that's miles. Kilometers, I can't say. It's more. More than that in kilometers. So she's in Nandagram. Putin is in Nandagram. That's big, right? Like how many Brijvasis are there in Braj Mandal? And how many are living in Nandagram? Or how many living in Barsana? Or what to speak of Radhakund? So that's hope for us. So this is Radharani. This is the verse. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvaraha Yanno vihaya govinda prito yam anayadraha. So we read the commentaries, and I'm simply reviewing these words. I was talking about the meaning of Hari and Bhagavan. There's a sweet Madhurya meaning, and there's also an Aishvarya or a grand godly meaning of the words we discussed. Bhagavan, interesting. One meaning of the word, Sanskrit word Bhagavan, is beautiful one. It's actually, it says, because God or Krishna, Vishnu, always it says, Bhagavan means the beautiful one. So then someone might say, how is he the beautiful one? Because he reciprocates with the love of the hearts of his devotees. So that makes him beautiful. And Bhagavan is beautiful when he comes in the form of Krishna, because we call him Shamsundar. Shamsundar Bhagavan. Everyone likes too much Shamsundar. It's amazing. The Thakurji in Ramanriti, Radhasham, they're so popular and they're so attractive that pujaris from all over India, from temples all over India and all over Vrindavan, they regularly come to take darshan since the last 30 years that I know. They regularly come to take darshan of Radhasham and Krishna Balaram and Gauranitai, who are in Ramanriti. And why do they come? Because there's some unique, very unique and special beauty there, very unique and special style of the dressing and the particularness of it. So when you go nowadays, when you go to other temples, I'm not going to mention any names to keep things peaceful, but when you go to other temples that have become very popular in the last few years, some exceptions are there, but some temples, like I'll give you an example. In Banki Bihari Temple, I'll mention this one. In Banki Bihari Temple, every day, Banki Bihari wore white. A brand new white outfit every day. Some dhoti, sari made into a dhoti, whatever, but white color. Not different colors for different days, not different colors. And finally, and the pujaris were saying, we should make different colors like ISKCON. So then, now you see in every day a different color. White for Monday and coral, kind of reddish, pinkish red Mangalvar is Tuesday, it's kind of coral color, then Wednesday is green, Thursday is yellow or orange, Friday is silver, white, or this type of thing. Saturday is dark blue, neelam, and Sunday is ruby red. So these are the colors of the planets. The planets like these colors, and the jewels that you wear are also matching those planets and their colors. Jupiter is called Guruvar. Guruvar means Jupiter. Guruvar means Thursday, and the color for Thursday is yellow. And when you have Jupiter problems or you're a big guru, you wear a yellow sapphire on your Jupiter finger. This is the Jupiter finger, so you can get a lot of guru power. All right, this, your disciples give you that. They wear all these things. So Radharani is being, all these words are very important. Krishna, Radharani's here, Preeti's here, Govinda, Hari, Ishvara, and Govinda. And we discuss the meanings of those words and how they all fit together. The key word in this verse, because Radharani's name is here, is in the very first line, Anaya Aradito, Aradha, Aradito, Nunam. Certainly, this gopi, whose footprints we are seeing before us, now appearing for the first time in the middle of the night while we're searching for Radha and Krishna. These are definitely, according to Lalita Sakhi, who's speaking this verse, these are Radharani's footprints, because Radharani's footprints, like Krishna's, How many marks or chinna or symbols are on the bottom of Radharani's feet? 16, 17. Radharani has 8 beautiful marks or symbols or chinna, charan chinna on her beautiful right foot and 11 on her left foot. 11 and 8 makes 19. And Krishna has 19. So these are important facts to know. Because if you're in Vrindavan and you see some footprints, you want to know, is this Radharani? It may be Nitai's footprints, and maybe Chaitanya. Yeah. If you see any of them, you're certainly blessed. So Anya Radito means that Radharani is Aradhanam. And Shiva was once asked by Parvati in the 4th canto of Bhagavatam, said, so many people are worshipping you, and so many people worship Brahma and Vishnu. But of all the different worshippers, who is the greatest worshipper? And then Lord Shiva answered to his wife Parvati, Aradhanam, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. He said, Shiva said, so many people are worshipping me. Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya, Bam Bam Bole, Bam Bam Bole. So many people are worshipping Indra, Agni, Surya, Brahma. Aradhanam Sarvesham. But of all the worshippers, the worshippers of Vishnu are the supreme. Aradhanam Sarvesham. Vishnu Aradhanam Tatam Param. They are the topmost worshippers. But then he says, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. But even higher than the worshippers of Vishnu and more significant are the worshippers of the devotees of Vishnu. So here, Shiva himself is indicating Radharani. So she, in this verse, it says, Anaya Radito. Anaya Aradito Nunam. That's certainly Radharani, that of all the devotees of Vishnu or Krishna, she is the greatest because she is the greatest worshipper of Krishna. We worship Krishna with paraphernalia, samagri, upacharas, panch upachara, sodasha upachara, 5 items of worship, 16 items of worship. The Radharani worships Krishna with her man or pran or everything. Everything she worships Krishna with, her thoughts, her mind, her heart. So she's glorified as the meaning of Aradhito, according to Jiva Goswami. Aradhito means Radharani worships Krishna perfectly. And this is very important for us, as I mentioned, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because Radharani is revealed here. The whole purpose of the Bhagavatam, when we read the Bhagavatam from the first canto to the 12th canto, we find the stories of many different types of bhaktas, many different levels of bhaktas, which are summarized in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. And like the Pandavas and the Yadavas and Prahlad and Hanuman and Chitraketu and so many devotees throughout the Bhagavatam, they all worship a different form of the Lord, and they all have a different relationship or rasa with the Lord, and they're all displaying different degrees of love for the Lord. Different degrees of love are shown in the Bhagavatam. Why? Because it's a way of teaching. We can learn about the identity of something or the usefulness or the relativeness or relevancy of something by comparing it and contrasting it, examining its qualities. So, we see the different degrees of love. All different degrees of love are shown in the Bhagavatam to give a comparison and contrast to Radharani and the gopis. So the gopis are presented in the 10th canto, and specifically in the Panch Rasa Panch Adyaya, 5 chapters of the Rasa dance. All the acharyas that we worship and we respect and we follow and we study, they all say that this 5 chapters, this is the face of Krishna. Not only the face, but the smile on Krishna's face is the Rasa Lila. So the whole Bhagavatam, you can see in the Padma Puran, there is one verse that describes how the different cantos of the Bhagavatam represent different parts of Krishna's transcendental form. The first canto of the Bhagavatam represents Krishna's feet and his ankles, and maybe up to his knees. Then second canto up to his thighs, and it goes on. Then the 10th canto is Krishna's head. The whole 10th canto is Krishna's head, Mathura Lila, Braj Lila, Mathura Lila, Dwarka Lila. And up of the head, the most beautiful part of the head is the smile and the mouth and eyes. So the smile, Krishna's smile, the face, the head is the whole 10th canto, and the face is Braj Lila. And the smile on the face is the Ras Lila. So this is the essence. Because love is most expressed through the mouth, and so therefore Ras Lila. Here we find, of all the devotees, Radharani rises up, the greatest worshipper of Krishna, and the greatest lover of Krishna is Radharani. And this is the verse that presents Radharani as that empress of love and the queen of prema. She is the ideal for us in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are worshippers of Radharani and Krishna together. We are worshippers of the love of Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Sri Krishna himself, Jagat Guru Sri Krishna, Adi Guru Sri Krishna. He has come to distribute this love of Radharani, to understand this love, and to taste this love and experience this love. And he wants all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to experience Radharani's love, to taste Radharani's love, and to become servants of Radharani's love. So therefore, this verse 10, canto, chapter 30, verse 28 is so important for all of us. Anya radito nunam. Bhagavan Ishvaraha. It says, Yanno vihaya govinda, prito yam anayadraha. That Radha and Krishna, the verse is saying that Krishna left all the gopis and took Radharani, because she's the greatest lover and worshipper of Krishna. And they ran away to a private place, Raha, to a private secluded kunja, to be together so Krishna could relish the supreme topmost love of Srimati Radharani. And verse 28, because the gopis are, the other gopis are discovering this foot, these footprints of Radharani, and the favorable party of Radharani, the Sopaksha, Srit Paksha, Radharani's own group of gopis, they're remarking with great appreciation, and they're stating with immense gratitude and happiness, and they're exulting over the success of Radharani and the supreme position of Radharani. So this verse has many applications and can be taken in different ways. One point that the verse explains very clearly, that amongst Krishna and his associates, like the gopis in Vrindavan, there's no such thing as envy. We were envious of Krishna and we left the spiritual world. Maybe somebody left somebody from somewhere on the basis of envy. But when one goes to the Nitya Dham, Krishna's eternal Leela, Krishna says in five verses in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that once coming to me, one never returns to this material world. Natadvasayate suryo nashashanko napavaka yadgatva nanivartante taddhamam paramam mama. Chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 6. It says, once in my abode, Goloka Vrindavan, Braja Gokul, Gokul Dham, there is no need for your sun planet or your moon planet or stars, nashashanko napavaka, any kind of electricity or lightning or anything, because it is self-effulgent. Everyone is effulgent, and the whole land is effulgent with love and prema, natural light. Even jewels, gems and jewels like sapphires and many costly gems, they emit light. They give off light. And in the palace of Dwarka and Dwarka Lila, and even the kings of India, 500, 600 years ago, in the hallways of their palaces, just in the hallways, what to speak of their bedrooms or their closets, almirahs. They're all embedded, jewels are embedded in all the walls. And the jewels, they absorb the light of the sun. It's called Suryakant Mani. They all have this quality. And they give off light so they can find their way around. So the spiritual world is like that. They don't need those jewels. And Krishna says, once you go there, you don't come back. So Radharani is, here it says that the Acharyas are saying, verse 28, proves that the coward maidens, they know that Radha has Krishna under her control. Anaya Radhito Nunam, Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. There's this Radhita, Radharani, and she's with Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is Hari. Hari means that Radharani is with Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because she's so beautiful and so sweet and so kind and loving and selfless, that Krishna has stolen her away from all the gopis. Anaya Aradito Nunam Bhagavan Harir. Hari means thief. So Radharani, Krishna stole one gopi, Radharani. And then what happened? Bhagavan Hari Ishvara says, Bhagavan Hari. So once he was with Radharani, then Radharani took control, Ishvara. Because Radharani's 25th quality, which makes her stand out amongst all the other gopis, is Prem Vashibhut. Prem Vashibhut. Radharani, Vashibhut means to control. So Radharani controls Krishna by her love. That's her 25th quality. Radharani has unlimited qualities, but they're listed as 25 because that's even too many for us to remember. That'll give us a good direction to appreciate the significance and supremacy of Radharani. So as you know, you must have heard 10,000 times, the most sterling and outstanding quality of Srimati Radharani is her ability to control Krishna by love, by her love, which is unique. Mananakya Mahabhava. By using the word anaradito, Shukamuni cleverly both reveals and conceals. He reveals and conceals the name and identity of Radharani. Because the word doesn't actually, just says aradito, which means one who worships perfectly. But in the letters of this word is Radha. R-A-D-H-I, radito, Radha. It's like a puzzle, it's like a, what do you say? There's something you say, a riddle. You say some riddle. Someone says something, it's called Praheli. In Sanskrit, it's called Praheli. And Raghunath Das Goswami is explaining in Stavavali that he's praying. He said, oh, when will I go to Radharani? Because he's praying. Very nice. Swasankalpa, Swasankalpa Prakasha Stotram. It's one of the prayers. Stavavali is a collection of prayers by Raghunath Das Goswami with different titles like Govardhanashtakam, Radhakarnashtakam. So in this prayer, he's mentioning as Swasankalpa. These are my sankalpas. These are my aspirations. These are my desires. These are the things that I want. He said, when will I go to Radharani? When will I approach Radharani? And I will beg her, please, O Radharani, please teach me how to sing. Please teach me how to sing. Please teach me how to speak nice poetry and write and compose nice poetry. No, Radharani, please teach me how to play the veena. No, Radharani, please teach me the art of praheli. It's in the Sanskrit. So four subjects, which are basically related to some extent, music speaking, four subjects, four talents, four abilities, Raghunath Das Goswami and his Siddha Sarup, Nitya Sarup as Tulsi Manjri or Rati Manjri. He goes, or she goes, let's say she. He's praying, but she goes. He's praying, oh, Radharani, in my Sarup, I will go to you, and you will please teach me these four things. So we, as sadhakas, we mold ourselves after the life and teachings. We mold ourselves after the life and teachings and desires and meditations and sevas that are revealed to us in the beautiful and clear and sweet rasa-filled works of the six Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, who is the Bhakti Rasacharya, and Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the Prem Seva Prayojanacharya of Manjari Bhav, especially. So therefore, as above, so below. As they are praying, we pray. Why did Raghunath Das write all these prayers? Because he's saying, listen, sadhaka, I'm teaching you how to pray. I'm teaching you how to desire. I'm teaching you what to aspire for. I'm teaching you what to pray for. I'm teaching you what to meditate on. Clear? So therefore, when he's saying, oh, Radharani, when will I come to you and learn these four subjects or talents from you, which I will use to please you and to serve you and to please you and serve Krishna, then that same pattern will go. Just like your mother was a little girl and she grew up and she got married and she had children and you were a little girl and you grew up and you got married. It's the cycle that goes on. It's the tradition. It's the maryada. So the Goswamis, so we also pray. Raghunath Das Goswami, it's his prayer, but he's giving it to us. It's also our prayer. Oh Radharani, when will I approach your lotus feet and I will be introduced to you by my Guru Sakhi? As Raghunath Das is praying in many of his prayers, Oh Rupa Goswami, please take me. Oh Rupa Goswami, Oh Rupa Mantri, please take me to your Radharani and introduce me to Radharani and help me to get the mercy of Vishakha or Radharani, etc. And we have the same prayers. This is the life of sadhana in the Raghunuga Bhakti, and these are the practices and principles that are given to us by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. It's all very clear. There's nothing too much to be confused about. You just need some guide or some teacher to make it clear and straight. So we must think, oh, when will that beautiful day come? When that Anya Aradito Nunam, certainly that Srimati Radharani, who is the greatest worshipper, my Guru Sakhi will introduce me to Radharani and say, oh, this is so-and-so Dasi, Kinkari Manjari, and she's in my Paksha, and we're under the Yuteshri of Vishakha, and she's a newcomer here. She's a Navadasi, a Navakinkari. Do you understand my language? Everyone's looking at me. Oh, okay, so she's a Navadasi, she's a new maidservant, and I won't say more, let her speak. So, Navadasi, so then Navadasi says the same prayer, says, oh Radharani, please, to serve you, to improve my service and expand my service, will you be so kind to teach me poetry and how to sing and play the veena? Narada Muni Bhajana Vina Radhika Ramana Name. There's that song we must be knowing. Narada Muni Bhajana Vina Radhika Ramana Name. I'm playing the Vina, and the sound that when I play the Vina, it comes out Radhika Nam, Radhika Raman, Prem Nam. So Radharani, please, you teach me the Vina, and you teach me the poetry and the singing, and the praheli, riddles. So this is this is almost like a riddle. For those that anyone can see, the Gaudiyas who have the eyes of devotion, which are made perfect by the comments of the Acharyas, everyone has eyes, but they may not be 20/20 vision. They may require glasses. So we have eyes. We have eyes of devotion. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. It's called Bhakti Vilochan. Bhakti Vilochan. Lochan means eye, and Bhakti means devotion. We may not have the Prem Lochan. We may not have Bhav Drishti or Bhav Lochan. We're not seeing with the eyes of Bhav or Prema, but we all have some devotion. We see the world through the devotional eye, the eye of the Bhakta. The eye of the Bhakta sees Krishna's love in everything and tries to bring Krishna's love out of everything. and mixes his love into everything he contacts, into everyone he meets. Love is about giving, not taking. Love is about pleasing, not being pleased. Love is about selflessness, not selfishness. And the ideal exemplar in this particular expression of love is Radharani. Gaudiyas are mad about Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mad about Krishna, and we are mad about Radharani. Lord Chaitanya is showing to become mad for Krishna, and he's teaching us Gopi Bhav Angikara. Please, everyone, Gopi Bhav Angikara. There are five rasas, and everyone knows that they are Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura. But Lord Chaitanya, although he is relishing different rasas with different associates, says, I've come here to relish the five rasas. So with his mother and father, Jagannath Mishra, and also Sachimata Jagannath Mishra, and other mothers in his parishads, he would relish Vatsalya Bhav. And with his senior sannyasis in Puri, he would relish the mood of Shanta Ras and Dasya Ras. And with different servants, with Ishan and his servant, he would relish the mood of Dasya Ras and mood of friendship. So all these rasas he's relishing. And people can pick up the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and run in different directions. But when Lord Chaitanya is instructing or giving teachings, he only talks about one stai rati. One stai rati. One stai rati means one ras. And he only gives a command or the order to accept one. He doesn't say sakya rati angikara. He doesn't say vatsalya rati angikara. He doesn't say vatsalya rati angikara. He doesn't say dasya rati angikara. He says gopi bhav angikara. Gopi bhav means madhurati. The amorous love of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. So it's very clear that Mahaprabhu is telling, ordering, commanding all of us as his followers, as Gaudiyas, accept Gopi Bhav, Gopi Bhav Angikara. Because many people, they want to promote different rasas, that's very nice, but don't promote. You may have been inclined in one way for some reason due to purva sanskaras, previous life's association or contact. It's very hard to understand this, what's that term in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Part 1, part chapter 5. It's called Guda Sanskara. There's another term also. In other words, Rupa Goswami is explaining, the question is raised, what is the source, why are people attracted or interested in one particular way of loving Krishna or not? So he explains that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So basically, Lord Chaitanya came to give this, and Radharani is she's the one who worships Krishna perfectly. So here in chapter 30, we see about Radharani's special position. Anaya Radito Nunam. Radharani's supreme glories are now announced to the world. That special gopi. And now what happens is that Shukamuni continues to glorify, quote, that special gopi, Anaya Aradito, Nunam, in 9 consecutive verses, from now until 38, whatever. Doesn't look like very good mathematics. This special favored gopi is not just another gopi among many. Rather, she has been uniquely chosen by Krishna for his exclusive attention. Exclusive attention. That's really exclusive. When there's 3 billion gopis and you pick one, I mean, it must be a pretty difficult choice. If there's 3 billion gopis, and the Padma Puran says in the Maharas dance, there's 3 billion gopis, and you have this eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Which one are you going to pick? And somehow Radharani just, she's like the lotus flower rising above the mud or whatever. She's like sometimes in a lake, the first lotus flower to appear. That one will stand out. There are many, many, many lotuses maybe just below the surface of the water. And they're closed. The flower bud is closed and they're waiting for the right time and right sunshine and right moment go through the water and open. So Radharani, all those other lotuses, all the other gopis are like lotus gopis. They're under the water. But Radharani is standing above. This is something I came in my mind. And Radharani, because Krishna is saying, this one. This golden lotus I will take. And he took her and disappeared. Magically and mystically. They instant disappearance. He was here and he's gone. Where'd he go? It was like, kind of imagine you're looking with Krishna, you're having dialogue, and then you're walking with him. He has his arm on your shoulder. You're singing. He's pinching you. He's fondling you. You're laughing. You're giggling. You're walking along. Oh, look at that bird. Look at the singing. All of a sudden, where's his arm? His arm's on my shoulder, and all of a sudden, instant disappearance. That's what's described in the Bhagavad. Quite astonishing and chamatkar, amazing. So this unique, she's uniquely chosen because of her exclusive attention. So in these verses, these 10 verses are the only verses in the entire Bhagavatam of 18,000 verses where the special gopi, that is Radharani, is directly described. So hold on. We're going to discuss those verses. There's 18,000 verses. That's a lot. And there's only, what do they say? There's 10 verses. These 10 verses are the Radharani verses. 10, 30, 28, 29, 30. It's actually 10:30 to 10:38. These are two warm-ups. And because they start using terms like that special gopi, that special gopi, that special gopi, that special gopi. In Sanskrit, it means vishesh. Vishesh gopi. Vishesh gopi. Vishesh means that special gopi or especially qualified. Unique gopi, especially qualified. Vishesh sakhi. So just to repeat, in 18,000 verses, we're going to hear about the special gopi. We say Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Everywhere, maybe it's illegal. In some places, it's illegal to chant this name. But in some places, if you don't chant this name, you get arrested. You got it? There are some places in the world, if you chant this particular name, you may get arrested or tested or something. But if you come to Vrindavan and people say, you're not chanting Radhe Radhe? You don't like our Vrindavan? You don't like to live in Vrindavan? You don't like to move in Vrindavan? Do you want to visit Barsana, Nandagram, Govardhan, Vrindavan, Nidivan, Sevakunj, Jamuna Palin, Gokul? You want to visit these places, Kamyavan? Ah, yes. But you don't want to chant Radhe Radhe? Then impossible. Radhe Radhe Bolo, Vrindavan Me Dolo. There's a phrase. Dolo means like dolana, dola yatra. Dola yatra means julan, means moving. Forward, backwards, like a swing. Dolana. So Radhe Radhe Bolo, Vrindavan Me Dolo. So Vrindavan Me, if you come to Vrindavan Me, in Vrindavan, and you want to walk, you want to live, you want to move, you want to wander, you want to visit, you want to see, then you must chant Radhe Radhe. But this is the one place where, because this is Radha Dham, it's not a guest house. It's not a guest house, it's Radharani's place. Vrindavaneshri Radharani. She's the queen of her kingdom, or queendom, or whatever you want to call it. The special gopi is Radharani, and she's directly described. There can be no Ras Leela without Srimati Radharani in the center of the Ras Mandala. In Ramananda Rai's teachings in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, it's called Ramananda Sambad. Bad means speech and sam means together. So there's a speech, questions of Mahaprabhu and answers by Mahaprabhu but through the mouth of the parrot-like Ramananda Rai, but actually it's Lord Chaitanya's teachings. So there, he explains that Krishna leaves the circle of the rasa to search for Srimati Radharani. Because in some rasa leelas, Radharani leaves. And you know that pastime, oftentimes when you visit Imlitala. You know Imlitala in Vrindavan by the Yamuna? There's Radha Damodar Mandir, then there's Nityananda Vat, and that's called Shringhar Vat. Krishna brushes Radharani's hair and decorates Radharani there during Rasa dance. Then you go a little further north, backwards on the Parikrama Marg of Vrindavan, you come to Imlitala. Imli means tamarind tree. So they tell the pastime there where Radharani was there. Radharani was there. Krishna found her other way around sometimes, it says. Depends on who's telling the story. So Radharani left the circle of the Rasa dance and Krishna went looking for her. Just like the gopis are looking. So then Krishna left the circle of the Rasa dance to search for Srimati Radharani. That's the version of the Rasa dance by Ramananda Roy speaking to Chaitanya Charitamrita, speaking to Lord Chaitanya in chapter 8 of the Madhya Lila. But here in the Bhagavatam, what do we hear? We hear that Krishna left all the gopis and took Radharani with him. So there's a variety. It's not just one way. So which way do we like it? Yeah. Radharani leaves Krishna and he has to search for her. What do we want to see? Do we want to see, like in Vaikuntha, do you ever see any paintings or read any pastimes of Vishnu massaging Lakshmi's feet? No. There's 9 limbs of devotion and there's personalities who attain perfection and show perfection, each one of them, right? So who attained perfection by hearing the Bhagavatam? Maharaj Pariksit, all right. Who attained perfection by speaking? Kirtan. Right. Who attained perfection by remembering? Krishna, Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj. Then Padasevanam. Padasevanam means what? Serving the feet as Lakshmi. So her perfection, becoming a humble servant. Padasevanam means Vaishnav Seva. Padasevana means Tulsi Seva. Padasevana means massaging the feet of the Guru, massaging the feet of the devotees, massaging the feet of Krishna, serving the feet of Krishna. So many forms of Seva. Prikama, Tulsi Seva, Tulsi Puja, Vrindavan Prikama, Chirasi Kosh Prikama. This is called Padasevana. Many, many branches. So Lakshmi has her perfection there. But so we like to see Krishna massaging the feet of Radharani when she's in Man. Because Radharani's the queen. She's on top. She's the boss. So this is what we want to see. So the same way we want to see Radharani is in a huff. Oh, Krishna's showing equal affection to all these other gopis. And he's same as he's showing me. Doesn't he know that I'm supreme? Ah, in a huff, in a sulking, pouting mood, it's called Man. Man means my pride has been pinched. You have pinched my pride. So I will show you. No. You want to touch me? No. You want to see me? No. You want to speak to me? No. You want to dance with me? You have to find me because I'm leaving. So Radharani leaves. A few mandris run behind her and fanning her and keeping her cool down. So Radharani leaves. Krishna is so distressed. Oh, where is Radharani? How can I find Radharani? And Krishna's asking the trees, and Krishna's asking Tulsi, and Krishna's asking Bhumi. The same pattern, the same circumstance. So, put yourself in the other person's shoes. They have an expression like that. Then you can understand what it means to suffer. If someone is suffering, then you become like them, then you understand something of what they're feeling. Krishna leaves that circle of the Rasa dance to search for Srimati Radharani. So this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam version, Krishna leaves with Radharani and leaves all the other gopis. According to our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, all the other Braja gopis are expansions and extensions of Radharani, Kaya Vyuha of Radharani. The different Braja gopis are persona. What are they? Why does Radharani, if Radharani has it all, Radharani has it all, and she is the embodiment of all rasas and all flavors of love and satisfaction and joy and happiness for Krishna, then why bother expanding? Because everything's within you. So the acharyas, why does Radharani expand into the Lalita Vishakha Chandravali All these Sakis are Radharani's expansion. She is the Adya Shakti. She is the, of course, everything is Nitya. There's no beginning. Well, in the beginning there was Radha. Then the second one that came was Chandravali. They're all Nitya. But Radharani, it's said like that. They're expansions and extensions. That term is there. Vaira Goswami's Kaya means body, and Vyuha means expansion. Kaya Vyuha. What are these expansions? They're personified embodiments of Radharani's different emotions. So Radharani, she has eight primary emotions. They're called Nayaka Bhav, Nayika, Nayika Bhav. Nayika means the heroine, the female consort, or the female, the lover and the beloved. So there are nine types, Kila Kinshit, and Swadina Bratrika, and Utkanta, Utkantita, and Vasa Sajik, and many different bhavas and feelings of love. In separation, some of these feelings are displayed or shown, and sometimes in union. So these eight primary bhavas that are described in the Rasa Shastras and also by Rupa Goswami Pad in Ujjala Nilamani, they're all embodied in the Ashtasakhis of Radharani. So she first expands into Lalita Vishaka Chitra, into Leka Champak, Rangadevi Sudevi. And these Ashtasakhis, and they represent the eight primary loving moods of a heroine, or the lover, for the beloved of the lover. And then she expands in so many subsidiary moods and secondary moods and thousands of different Sakhis. So Radharani's emotional persona, Radharani's emotional persona, and her psyche and her heart have so many chambers and so many facets, like some incredibly large and costly diamond. The larger the diamond, the more cuts and the more angles and the more facets in the diamond because of the virtue of the size, right? It's very small, it's only a few angles. So Radharani is an unlimited diamond of loving facets of love. F-A-C-E-T-S, facets, expressions, moods, and she contains them all within herself. So sometimes Krishna's good, he's happy, he's fully satisfied just to be with Radharani. But Radharani, because Radharani is all those moods at the same time, but when she wants to overwhelm Krishna, when Radharani wants to overwhelm Krishna or completely saturate Krishna with a particular loving mood, a particular loving bhav, then she manifests as a sakhi, like herself. Of the eight types of Nayaka bhav, Radharani manifests Swadina Bratrika. Lalita has this quality, other gopis have this quality. It's a mood of the lover, or let's say beloved, the female, beloved, and the lover, male. So it's a mood of controlling, Swadina. Swadina means control, Swadin. So controlling Bratrika in various ways. So in various ways, Radharani controls Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you have worshipped the incorporeal love god. You have taken the love god out of my heart, and you have worshipped him on the altar of intimate exchanges. Now please, you put the murti, smara murti, you put the murti of amorous love back in the altar after you've done the abhishek. Put him back on the altar. Means. Now, which she's speaking in a very poetic way. Now you have to dress me and decorate me because I'm the murti. And when you have the murtis on the altar, you take off the poshak and the shringar, and you take the earrings off and the crown and all the ornaments, and the murti is just standing there. So Radharani is the murti of love. She's the Prem Sarupini Radharani, Mahabhav Sarupini Radharani. So then Krishna, when in the intimacies of Kunja Leela, Rati Kali, the intimacies of man and lady together, and amorous intimacies of romantic pleasure, then Krishna, he takes all the shringar off of the murti, and then the personification, embodiment of love. Then Radharani says, "Oh, now you have to reject. You finished your puja. You finished your puja. You finished the abhishek, the rasa abhishek." Means water or some liquid. So Radharani is bathed with the liquid of love. Liquid of love is premras. So Krishna's premras is called shamras. Shamras is described in the Vilapakustamanjali and in the commentaries also. This is the beautiful love that Krishna has, that Radharani has for Krishna. and Krishna's Radharas Sudhanidhi. Krishna is full of love for Radharani. So now Radharani is saying, you've bathed me with a sham ras. Now I'm just lying here. So please, you decorate me. So this is Swadina Bratrika. You ornament me and you dress me. So Krishna says, yes, yes, yes. Dasasmi. I am your servant. And then Krishna is dressing. Radharani says, You don't put on a choli, and then you put on a, you know, you're putting on a necklace and a choli, and he gets it all upside down because Krishna doesn't really know the sequence or the krama how to properly dress a lady. You know, first you put on this and then that, and then he calls. Then Radharani says, "Oh, Krishna, you don't know how to dress properly." So then Radharani says, "Hey, Rati Mandri, hey Tulsi Mandri, hey Mani Mandri, whoever, come here. Show Krishna how to dress me. He doesn't know." Just like if you do Didi Takraji Seva, Murti Puja in the temple, there's a sequence of how you dress. You know, when you don't put all the ornaments on and then dress. First you dress and then you put necklaces. It's steps. So Krishna, for good reason, he may know the right sequence, but in the circumstance, he can't even hardly hold the items because his hands are trembling. So Radharani is not bathed with water or panchamrit. Of course, she is bathed with panchamrit also. There's this a very beautiful writing by Raghunath Das Goswami, which is summarized in Bengali in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Raghunath Das Goswami in Madhya Lila. And he's describing how Radharani is bathed. She's bathed in amrit. She's bathed, like we say, panchamrit. Panchamrit means cow milk and cow yogurt and cow ghee and honey and mystery pani. We say sugar water. So Radharani is bathed in Lavanya, Lavanya Amritam. Lavanya Amritam, the nectar of Lavanya. Lavanya means the special, the radiance of youth. So Radharani bathes, she's bathed, like we bathe in water. She's bathed in Lavanya Amritasnan, the radiance of youth. Very special. So now in this Kunja Leela, Ratikeli, Radharani has been bathed with all these rasas. So you bathe the murti with all these rasas. You pour all the things, the conch shell and ding, 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 yidam, snaninam, and then all these, this and that, and all these things. And then you dress the deities and decorate them. So Radharani is saying, I am the smara, you took out the smara murti. Smara doesn't mean smarty pants or smara, but smara means this erotic love, smara. So very beautiful. This is a description of Govinda Leelamrita, which our teacher has told us that we should become tanmoy with teachings of Govinda Leelamrita. Is that right? I think so. So we're just trying to share the small points about the uniqueness of Radharani, which are mentioned here. Very nice. So we very much. So which view? Do we like the Gaudiya Vaishnava view of the Ras Leela, or do we like the Shukamuni view of Ras Leela? Obviously, everyone's going to vote. So Lord Chaitanya was listening. He's listening to Ramananda Roy tell that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramananda Sambhag, Ramananda Roy is saying, Radharani left the Rasa dance and Krishna went to search for her. And Lord Chaitanya is not saying, no, 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 you're wrong, Ramananda Roy. Don't you know the Srimad Bhagavatam? Because Mahaprabhu he's Shastra Nipun. He's a Nimai Pandit. He could correct him and say, no, no, in the version of the Bhagavatam, it says that Krishna left all the gopis and took Radharani. The Lord Chaitanya is very happy with Ramananda Roy's revelation, which was coming from him himself. So when Ramananda Roy is speaking that Radharani left the Rasa dance and left Krishna behind and all the gopis and everybody behind, then Krishna had to go look for Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya was smiling. Yes, this is nice. So this, Lord Chaitanya is very happy to hear that Radharani leads the Rasa dance and Krishna searches for him, which is not the version that we're hearing in the five chapters of the Rasa dance here. But this is what's told in Madhya Leela, in the Ramananda Sambhag. So the Gaudiya conception that Lord Chaitanya is approving, putting a stamp of approval on, that this is the way. Yes. So we say, Jai Shri. Jai Vrindavaneshri, Jai Rasheshri, Rasheshri, Rasheshri Radharani. She's the queen of the Rasa dance. Rasheshri, Jayashri, Vrindavaneshri. Ashtashaki Shiromani, Radhe Radhe, Vrindavaneshri, Radharani, Radhe Radhe, Kano Mano Mohini, Radhe Radhe, Ashtashaki Shiromani, Radhe Radhe. So Kotai go Prema Mai, Radhe Radhe. Oh, Kotai, Kotai, Kotai. Where is that Radharani? Can I find Radharani? I'm looking for Radharani. I'm in Vrindavan, I'm in Barsana, I'm in Radhakund. Radharani, where is Radharani? Where is Radharani? Is she in our hearts? Is she in our mind? Is she in our speech? Is she in our dreams? Is she in our ears? Is Radharani in your ears? Is Radharani in your heart? This is what we have to ask ourselves. So you can imagine Lord Chaitanya is in relishing so much bliss to hear the supreme position of Radharani. This is Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And he's telling Ramananda Roy when he's glorifying Radharani, Aniya Radhito Nunam, Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. Speak more, speak more. This is it. This is it. This is the essence. This is the summit. This is the zenith of perfection, the topmost of Siddhanta. But speak more. I want to hear more, relish more. Anyor, anyor, anyor. So this is this verse is like, it's like opening a dam. You know, your dam, you know, blocking out the river. And the floodwaters are rising and rising and rising. And the dam is feeling so much pressure from the voluminous weight of the water pressing against it. And it's about to blow up. And then the gatekeeper of the dam, he opens the flood, they call floodgates. They're like the dam, there's doors. And he opens up and whoosh, the water flows out. So this verse 10:30:28 is like a dam. That's the whole Bhagavatam is the river that's backed up behind this dam. First canto, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth canto. This all this Bali Lila and Pogunda Lila. Now it's Kaishor Lila. Krishna's a teenager. It's Ras Lila. He's 15. Radharani's 14. And the dam is building up so much water. Then finally Sugadeva opens up. Radhe, Radhe, the special gopi, Radharani, eight verses, verse 30 to 38 in this chapter. These are the introductory verses, trailer, you know, trailer? So 28 and 29 are introduction. And then it opens up, special gopi, vishesh gopi, vishesh saki, Radharani. So for Gaudiyas, they wave the victory flag. They wave the victory flag. Oh, this is Radharani's. She's come out of the Bhagavatam. Like the Devatas in the eighth canto of Bhagavatam. So the Asur, Devata Asur, Kir Sagar Mantan, they're like Mathura, they're churning the ocean of milk. You know the pastime. The Devas and the Asuras, the demons and devotees, are churning the ocean of milk and they're using Vasuki. Vasuki is a form of Krishna in the subterranean regions. An expansion of Krishna, Anantashesh, Vasuki. He's the king of there's different kinds of, there's sarps, there's snakes and sarps, and there's three or four different categories. He's the king of one particular branch. That's explained in the Gita purport. Sarp has hoods, like a cobra, it's a sarp, and a snake has no hoods. And there's I saw in the Tika, it's quite amazing actually. And Tripurari Swami's Tika, here you can see. That's how I learned. Because in the Gita, you must be knowing, in Gita it says, among the fish, I am shark. Makar, it says Makar actually. Makar is not quite a shark, but he's translated shark. Makara, Krishna's Makara Kundala. And he says, among the birds, I am Garuda. And among the planets, I am the sun. And among the stars, I am the moon. Among the beasts, I am the lion. And among the snakes and Vasuki, like this. So their Vasuki is the rope, and Korma is, and the pivot point, the rope is tied around is Mount Sumeru, the golden mountain. So they threw the mountain in the middle of the Kir Sagar, and they tied a rope around it, and they started churning the milk. So when you churn milk, what do you get?
Butter.
You don't know? You churn milk, hello? Churn milk, you get butter, makan. And then like this. So, but when they threw that mountain in there, then it sunk. it sunk in the milk ocean. I said, oh, well, I didn't calculate on that. Because gold is heavy and the whole mountain was made of gold. So bloop, really blooped. The Mandara Mountain really blooped. Really big time. Bloop. You know, blooping. So then they said, oh, what to do? Oh, we got Korma. Korma's a pretty tough guy. So they brought in Korma and said, can you carry this load on your back? He said, all right, but you know, what do I get out of it? He said, you get a few scratches, you know. You'll scratch your back. So he said, oh, yeah, can't reach over there. And so they put this Mandara Mountain on the back of Korma Avatar, Bhagavan Korma Avatar. And he held it up and just went like this, like helicopter mode, you know. He just, you know, like helicopter stays like in one place like this. So he just went his propellers, whatever they call it, flippers. So he didn't go anywhere. He just stayed in one place, like a helicopter mode. And then, so he was singing, you know, and they were going back and forth. And so many things came out of the ocean. Airavata came out, and Indra said, oh, that's a cool elephant. I'm a king. Kings have elephants, and I'm the king of the heaven. But I don't have an elephant like this. This elephant is really cool. Why is he cool? Because he has six tusks. Most elephants have two. And he has six. You know these things? You know, it's called tusk. He has six. And Indra thought, oh, wow. When I cruise around on my elephant, people are going to say, wow, where'd you get that elephant? Yeah, this is Lamborghini. This is a Lamborghini elephant. Very specially handmade. You know, achar. Yeah, it's from Kirasagara. Kirasagara. Oh, how'd you get it? Oh, it's not easy. You got to call the day. So then Airavata came out, and Dhanvantari came out, and Lakshmi Devi came out, and the moon came out, Chandradev came out. That's why he's white. Because he came from the milk. He's made of milk. That's right. Read the Bhagavatam. You might learn something. Go back. You know, you're in 10th canto. You haven't graduated 8th grade yet. At any rate, so all these things come out. So why am I telling this analogy? Don't get lost in the Kirasagar. Don't get lost with Vasuki. And don't get lost in Mount Meru. Because when you churn the Bhagavatam is ras. It's called Rasa Shastra. Ras means liquid. Rasoham apsakonteya prabhasmi shashishuryo. Krishna says in the 7th chapter of Gita, I am the taste of water. Rasa aham apsu. Apsu means water, and aham means I am. I am the ras. Ras means life. Ras means pleasure. Ras means divine rapture. Romantic bliss to the umpteenth degree. Let's put it that way. So when churning the milk ocean, many personalities and many objects came out. Poison, the first thing that came out was poison. Kalakuta poison. And Shiva drank the poison. He got a blue neck because and then he became Nilakant. He's golden. Shiva's body is bright, beautiful golden color, like molten gold. He covers himself with ashes because everyone's envious of him. Because he's so attractive and so beautiful, the other demigods are envious of him. So he covers himself with rock. Rock in Hindi means, we say, basma, or ashes. So people say, oh, he's all dirty. Ashes are actually pure, and they're also heating also. So if you're sitting on Kailash in a snowbank, it'd be good to have some kind of electric heater on your body. So that's why dogs sleep in piles of ashes, because they're very warm in the winter. And the sadhus, the Nagna Babas or whatever, the Shaivites that wear ashes and they run around Badrinath and stuff, they actually don't feel very cold. Because internally they're keeping warm by various herbs and spices. And externally they put this ashes on their body and they keep very quite warm. Do you know that? That's a fact. Anyway, they're smart. So Shiva is very beautiful. So he drank the poison. It's the same thing. We're churning the ocean of the holy name, and this analogy is sometimes used by your guru also, by the way. Churning the ocean of the holy name, some people's gurus, some disciples' gurus. So we're all churning the ocean of the holy name, but unfortunately, what happens? What are the first things that come out of the ocean of churning the holy name? What comes out? The ocean is your heart, the waters of your heart, the waters of my heart. So when you churn the ocean, the first thing that comes out is envy. First thing that's produced when you churn the ocean, envy. And you see how envious, how much envy we have for each other. Yes? Yes. Envy, then greed, and lust, and anger, all these things come out. Oh, I thought I was really cool. I thought I was really peaceful. I thought I was really pure. I was doing yoga every day. I was meditating, doing pranayama, drinking carrot juice 5 times a day, eating alfalfa sprouts, mung bean sprouts, fasting, you know, grape juice fast, cranberry juice fast, honey and water fast. I've done it all. I'm really cool. I'm really sattvic. I can stand on my head for 27 minutes. Shirasan. I have so many sattvic, beautiful experiences. I meet so many beautiful people. I go all the right places at the right time and do all the cool things. Then one day, I became a Hare Krishna. And I started chanting Hare Krishna. And oh, so much dirt came out. The charade was over. The charade was over, and the reality hit, smacked me in the face like a Mack truck hitting a baby carriage. And then I realized that, wow, I'm not so peaceful. I'm actually quite disturbed, and I have a lot of garbage inside of me. So that's like the poison in the milk ocean. So after the poison comes out, hopefully it comes out fast. You have to really churn. If you want to get butter fast, you just go. You go really laid back churning program. You ever watch these ladies, the village ladies churning butter? They don't just, you know, they're just not laid back. Hey man, what's up? They're not churning butter like that. And don't get, you know, they're tough. Then they get the job done because they have a lot of things to do. So the more we chant the holy name, the more. What is a churning rope? The churning rope is the string that holds the beads together. You know, there's a string. So that's the churning rope. Two sides, you know. You ever see sadhus? When sadhus and babaji, they chant, even they tell you like this. You're supposed to hold the beads next to your heart, not at the end of your knee. So the rope, the beads are the churning rope, and we're holding it by our heart because we want to churn our hearts. Heart, the milk, the ocean, it's not milk, whatever's in there. We're churning our hearts by chanting the holy name, and all this stuff is coming out of our hearts. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, all these things. Poison, Chaito Dharvana Marjanam, Lord Chaitanya, he says, how do we get the poison out of our heart? Like Lord Shiva drank all the poison. Krishna takes, that's why he says, Yoga Shema Mahamaham. And the seventh chapter of the Gita, he says, what does he say? Ananyas chintiantamam yejana paripashate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogashema mahamyam. He says, I preserve any good things you have, and I take away anything bad you have. So Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is telling us a simple answer. Everyone knows Chaita Dharvana Marjanam, that by the mercy of Lord Shiva. Shiva, what does Shiva mean? Shiva means mangalam. Mangalam means auspicious. The word Shivam means auspicious. Bhagavan or Sri Krishna, Satyam Shivaram Sundaram. Satyam Shivaram Sundaram. Bhagavan is described as the embodiment of truth. Satyam and Sundaram. There's no one more beautiful than Krishna. Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. And there's no one more auspicious or blessing, more compassion or blessing than Krishna. That's why we were saying yesterday in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first two sentences of sadhana bhakti are Shubhada and Kleshagni. Shubhada means to give auspiciousness, to give good fortune. Bhakti brings good things to our life. Bhakti brings happiness, peace, joy, fulfillment, hope, many things in our life. So this is the glories of Radharani. I said all the gopis are personified embodiments of all Radharani's different emotions. So in the Ras Lila, Radharani is unique, special gopi. And she's in the center of the Rasamandal, and all the other gopis are encircling her in Krishna. So just by the virtue of the position of Radharani in Rasalila, you can understand her supreme special position. Just like Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari, only a name is Ananga Manjari, a Manjari. If you read Radha Krishna Gana Deshdipika, or you hear from the lotus lips of Srila Nantadas Pandaji, he explains that Ananga Manjari is a gopi, she's a sakhi. Rupa Goswami explains that Ananga Manjari is a vara, There's Varishta. There's two categories of Sakis, primary main ones, Paramaprishta. The Varishta, Varishta Sakis, which are the Asta Sakis, Lita Vishaka, etc. And the second category of Sakis that's described in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika is called the Vara, Vara Sakis. And after describing Vara Sakis, then Rupa Goswami goes on to describe other types of Sakis who are commonly known as Mandris or Kinkris or Dasis. And those are the Nitya Sakis or the Priya Sakis. There's five types of Sakis. So Ananga Mandri, she's a Saki, and the proof that she's a Saki and the proof of her supreme position as a lover of Krishna, as a beloved of Krishna, is that her kunja is right in the center of Radhakund. Radharani is, Radharani, there's another example of non-envy. Radharani is highlighting her younger sister. They have the same lover. Radharani and her younger sister share the same lover, Sri Krishna. But there's no envy. If two ladies are loving the same man, within a short time, one lady will be alive, and one lady will be dead, or the man will be dead, or something. It doesn't work in this world. So there, Radharani is so much appreciative and honors and respects her younger sister that she gives her the pole position, the primary position, in the middle of her kund. And Radha Kund, we say the lake of love, Radha Kund is Radharani. There's no difference between Radharani and Radha Kund. So Radharani is basically by positioning and allowing her younger sister, Ananga Mandri, to be right in the middle of Radha Kund. Radharani is saying, see my younger sister? I love her so much that I keep her right in the middle of my heart. She is right in the middle of my heart. Lita's kund is to the north, and Vishaka's kund is to the northeast. And Champak and Chitra, they're all surrounding like lotus. They're like lotus petals around the center corolla. The center corolla is Radhakund, and they're all surrounding Radhakund on the perimeter, the banks of Radhakund or the kunjas. But my Ananga Mandri, my younger sister, smack dab in the middle, right in the middle of Radhakund is Ananga Mandri's kunja. How significant! How beautiful! How special she is! And she's not a Mandri. Only in name she's a Mandri. I think everyone understands that. So Radharani is like that in the Rasa Mandala. All the Sakis, including Ananga Mandri, by the way, all the Mandris are on the outside, on the perimeter of the Rasa Mandala, and Radha and Krishna are in the center. You see? Here's the primaria facia, the primary evidence, right here. Who's in the center of the Rasa Mandala? Radharani and Krishna. And then to show that Radha and Krishna are in the center, but even then Krishna says, oh yes, see, I am with Radharani as center. I am the center, I am special, Radharani is special, and she's with me together in the center. But now I want to show you something. Now Krishna, when he's with Radharani, the gopis are playing music and they're singing and dancing around. Then they say, oh, Radha Shyam, oh, Radha Govind, we want to see you two dance. So then Radha and Krishna dance in the middle. And then Krishna understands that Radharani is thinking, oh Krishna, you and I are together in the center, but I want to be alone in the center. I want to be alone in the center. So then Krishna says, all right. So then Krishna leaves Radharani's side and starts spinning and dancing around Radharani. Now Krishna is dancing around Radharani in the first circle. Then the second circle around Radharani is Yasta Sakis. And the third circle around is so many Sakis. And the 64 Mahants in their Saki forms. Then the third circle, then the fourth and fifth and sixth, there's infinite circles. So in the sadhanas to the gopis, the Rishicharis, the Municharis who did sadhana, and they practiced Raghunuga Bhakti, and they got the blessings of Bhagavan and the great saints and sadhus. Eventually they took birth from homes of the gopis, they got a Sakhi Sroop, and they entered the Rasa dance. They were in the outer circle, dancing around Krishna and Rasa dance. That's why you see paintings, one circle, two, three, four. It goes on infinitely. There's 3 billion gopis in the Rasa dance. So this is Radha and Krishna in the center. Radharani is the center of all the gopis. And as we see in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Krishna enters the village of Vrindavan, when he's coming back with the cows, it says that everyone in Barsana, everyone in Nandagaon, and everyone that near the road that Krishna's coming on, and everyone who sees him, says that Krishna, in English it's translated, I don't know the Sanskrit, unfortunately, Krishna is the cynosure. Krishna is the cynosure of all the eyes of all the Brijvasis. C-Y-N-O-S-U-R-E. Cynosure. Means Krishna, Prema Madhurya Krishna, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, Krishna, that Madhurya Purushottam, that sweet and beautiful, all attractive form of Krishna, so satisfying and so tasty and so attractive and so fulfilling and so compelling and so enchanting that every single Brijvasi, whether he's a bacha in his diapers or whether he's a Buddha, Buddha or bacha. Bacha means a baby in diapers. I don't know what they wear. They don't wear anything. They just run around. Baby doesn't wear, they don't have diapers in India. They wear a t-shirt and everything else is in the sky. Now this is in the Braj. So now Radharani is now in the center and Krishna is dancing around her. So when this happens, how happy the Manjris are, how happy the Sakis are, that Krishna is honoring Radharani and worshipping her. All the Sakis are encircling in the Rasa dance Radha and Krishna, and there are unlimited manifestations of Radharani's personal emotions in the forms of different gopis. So Krishna in turn manifests himself in duplicate forms to intimately enjoy with each one of these manifestations of Radharani. This is beautiful. This is the same point that's told in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto of chapter 15, verse 14, which is commented upon by Shiva Jiva Goswami Pad in Priti Sandarbha number 10. And he says, Vaikuntha Murti, the verse starts Vaikuntha Murti. The translation is, in the spiritual sky, and that spiritual sky, as Prabhupada said, there are unlimited forms of Vishnu. Unlimited, Vaikuntha is an unlimited forms of Vishnu, and Vishnu himself is expanding Vaikuntha Murtiya. So this is the beauty, some of the beautiful points of the Rasa dance, that Radharani expands herself in infant Sakis. So I was saying that Vishnu, in the third canto of Bhagavatam, so this is a very important verse because I'm trying to show a parallel here between Krishna expanding himself into unlimited forms. Is everyone there? Hello? Back to the Rasa dance. Krishna expands himself into unlimited forms to be with each of those 3 billion gopis, which Padma Puran explains. This is the Bhagavatam is describing the Maharas dance, which happens in Ashwin Purnima, which was the last Purnima before. This is the Maharas dance, and the Vamshivat and Gopishwar and all these places is part of the Maharas dance. And the old Govindaji temple, that's the site of the Yogapit and the Rasa dance, Govindastali. So Krishna expands himself in unlimited forms of himself to be with each one of those gopis. So in the third canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 15, verse 14, it says that Vishnu, or Krishna, here we're hearing Krishna, Vishnu expands himself into unlimited Vaikuntha Murtis. From the body of Vishnu expands unlimited spiritual forms, which are siddhadeyas, spiritual forms. And then it says, And with each one of those expanded forms of himself, he expands his own form to engage in pastimes with that siddhadeya or with that liberated soul. So all of these unlimited spiritual bodies are in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha or Vrindavan, and Krishna or Vishnu will enjoy and serve and receive the service with each one of them. Therefore, each liberated soul, we're sadhakas, we're doing sadhana. At some point we become siddha, we become liberated, we go to the spiritual world and we'll get our spiritual body, and in that spiritual body we'll have our own Radha and Krishna and our own spiritual sky, and we'll serve them with our own associates and our Gurudev, and everyone will be together. So there's unlimited forms of Krishna, just like the Rasa dance, there's unlimited gopis, there's Radharani expands herself into unlimited forms of herself. Krishna expands himself into unlimited forms of himself. And he interacts with all of them. So Vishnu, or Krishna, expands unlimited forms of himself and unlimited spiritual bodies, like Radharani is a Shakti and Krishna is a Purusha. So we are Shakti, we are Jiva Shakti. So Vishnu expands unlimited Jiva Shaktis, which are spiritual siddhidayas, and one of them is ours. And he expands unlimited forms of the Purusha, which is himself, Vishnu or Krishna. And the Purusha is served by the Shakti. Jivara Surupaya, Krishnara Nichadas. So this is some points. So the Rasa Dance, this teaching of the Rasa Dance is also teaching us the tattva of liberation or mukti or prema when we go to the spiritual world. It's like some people say, oh, if there's millions of gopis, how, and at my service, thousands and thousands of gopis have the same service, a special service that they do of fanning or cooking for Krishna or taking care of Radharani's clothes or whatever. When will I get a chance? But you'll have your own Radharani and your own Krishna, just like Dwarka Leela we were saying. Narada Muni went to 16,000 palaces and he saw 16,000 Krishnas and 16,000 Vasudevs and 16,000 Devakis and 16,000 Darukas, and there's one Rukmini, then the whole entourage around there. So there's one liberated soul and one Siddhadeva, okay? There's one Krishna and one Rukmini, but then all the associates. So there's one liberated soul and the Siddhadeva, you. And there's one Radhan Krishna and all Krishna and Radhan's associates are there with you. You get it? This is right there in the Bhagavatam. So these are the principles of tattva, so we can understand it, the individuality of it and the individuality of self-realization and the personal conception of it. And we see the same thing reflected here in our own world. In our own way, in our own reality, we are living in the spiritual world. You may have a murti in your house, Gopal or whomever, Radhan Krishna, Gauranitai, Jagannath. So you are living with Krishna in your house. Your house is a dham. Dham means a spiritual atmosphere, a spiritual abode. So what do we say? Have you seen my Krishna? Have you seen my Giriraj? Have you seen my Jagannath? Have you seen, I want to show you a picture. This is my Krishna. Acha. Well, this is my Krishna. Oh, my Krishna is better than yours. No, mine's better than yours. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The same, we are devotees, we're living in the spiritual world with Krishna, we're serving him day and night. We go there, we have our spiritual body, we have our own Krishna. Why will the spiritual world be less than this? It'll be the same and more. Because there's no time factor to debilitate or destroy. There's no old age or disease and no death. You're worshipping your Thakur, but when you die, you're separated. Thakurji stays here and you go to ashes. And then come again. And Thakurji, he keeps playing the flute and somebody else picks him up and starts worshipping him. You go and someone else comes. But there you go and you're with them forever. So this is, we've covered verse 28 and tomorrow we'll start verse 29. And we have Harinam, hopefully, today. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.